Historic Moody Church in the heart of Chicago comes Songs in the Night with Dr. Irwin Lutzer, soloist Glenn Jorian, the King's Carolers, and organist John Innes. This is Songs in the Night. With another in our series of messages on coming to grips with unanswered prayer, here's Dr. Lutzer.
Good evening, my friend. As Ted indicated, we're spending 6 broadcasts on Songs in the Night, dealing with the difficult subject of unanswered prayer. Last week we explored what happens when an answer to a prayer is delayed or put off into the future. Tonight we're going to see what happens when answers to our prayers are disguised. After all, God sometimes answers our prayers, but not in the way we would expect. So you stay tuned. My experience has been that sometimes we are unaware of God's leading in our lives, but even then He is with us, leading us all the way. One day God confided to Abraham that the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah would be destroyed because of a heavy concentration of wickedness within the area. Abraham was devastated, for his nephew Lot, his wife, and their children lived within Sodom. This sparked an emotional time of intercession as Abraham pleaded with God to spare the city if there were some righteous in it. The account of this story is in Genesis 18. After hearing of God's intent to destroy the city, Abraham stood before the Lord and cried, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the 50 righteous people? Be it far from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked. treating the righteous and wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? I hope you caught the sense of injustice in Abraham's voice. We can almost hear him pleading, almost beseeching God to answer this prayer. And I know that many of you have prayed prayers like this one. And like Abraham, you didn't get the answer you desired. The Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Abraham spoke up again. "Now I know that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes. What if the number of righteous is 5 less 50? Will you destroy the whole city because of the 5 people?" "If I find 45 there," the Lord said, "I will not destroy it." Abraham continued to try for better terms for his prayer. The number of righteous people needed to avert Sodom's destruction went down to 40, then 30, then 20. When it was over, the agreement was that if there were as few as 10 righteous, God would not destroy the city. Abraham left, confident that the city would not be destroyed. The next day, Abraham went out to look at the valley and saw billows of smoke ascending to heaven. God was raining fire and brimstone upon the city. He realized that he had miscalculated. Evidently, there were not 10 righteous in the city after all. If only he had lowered the number to 1. Well, as it turned out, there were 4 righteous, Lot and his wife and their 2 daughters. God had every right to destroy the city with them in it and still not break faith with Abraham. And in the end, God did destroy the city. Yet, God does give Abraham what he wanted. The patriarch was deeply burdened for his nephew Lot and his family. What Abraham didn't foresee is that God would take the righteous out before the destruction came. Notice this divine commentary. "Thus it came about when God destroyed the cities of the valley, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow." God remembered Abraham. In the end, the patriarch got what he wanted, but not what he expected. Well, in a moment, we'll meet another Old Testament character whose prayer was not answered as he expected.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. We try.
In the Old Testament, there's a story of David who sought the mind of his Savior, the mind of the Lord. He prayed about a deep desire which God had put into his heart. His dream was to build a temple for God in Jerusalem. Was it a good desire? Yes. That desire passed any test we might wish to give it. For one thing, this is something that God wanted done. Jerusalem was the city God had chosen for his people, was the spiritual capital. To build a temple there was the will of God. Second, David had the time and the ability to do it. It fell within the range of his aptitudes and giftedness. Third, his desire was confirmed by the prophet of God, Nathan. David shared his vision and Nathan responded, "Do it." That's in 1 Chronicles 17. Fourth and most importantly, David had a pure motive. He didn't want to build a monument to himself, but to God. Indeed, the Lord himself said that David did well, that this desire was in his heart. Yet, later, God spoke to the prophet Nathan and told him that the answer was no. David would not be the one to build the temple because he was a man of bloodshed. I want you to notice that God says no with great tenderness and encouragement. David is given some new promises. He would be a great name. What is more, rather than David building a house for God, God would build a house for David. The Lord would give him posterity, that is, a house and a throne that would last forever. Thus, David does not get to build a house after all. Or I should say, he does get to build a house after all, but not the kind he expected. The house he would build for God was the family line through which Christ would come. And there's even more to the story. The house, the temple he had prayed about, would be built by Solomon, David's son, whose mother was Bathsheba. And David would have a part in this project. He would gather materials for the building. He put stone cutters to work and gathered large quantities of iron and brass and purchased timbers and cedar logs. When you and I see our situations from our earthly viewpoints, We cannot always know what is in the mind of God. God, of course, isn't limited by time and space. In his will, this was his answer to David's prayer. In a moment, we're going to find out that there are some lessons we can learn from answers to prayer that are, from our standpoint, disguised.
Pray when the storm clouds gather o'erhead, hiding the light from you, filling your soul with darkness and dread. Pray till the light breaks through. Just keep on praying.
Sometimes we have to keep on praying because the light isn't always seen immediately, but it comes later. And we're learning some lessons from prayers whose answer is disguised. Prayers that are answered, but not in the way we expect. What are those lessons? First of all, when God says no, he sometimes substitutes something different to take its place. David learned that. And if your desire is to go to the mission field and it is unfulfilled, you may be able to send someone else. If you can't have children, you may be able to adopt a child. And if you desire a marriage partner, that motivation may have to be poured into the lives of others. All of us at some time or another may have to live with an unfulfilled desire. God is able to give us the grace to endure if we understand that our desires will be redirected. Let me put it this way. Suppose you have two desires. If the stronger of them is fulfilled, then the fact that the lesser one is unfulfilled is more bearable. George Mueller said that the chief duty of every Christian is to have his soul happy in God. If that desire is met in our intimacy with the Almighty, then other struggles in life become manageable. Second, we must have the grace to see that God's substitute answer is better than our original request. David worshiped after God said no. He could see in this the goodness and the kindness of God. After all, the temple would be built, and incredibly, it would be built by David's son who was born to Bathsheba, the woman whom David wronged, the woman whose husband David killed. Out of the mess that David made, God would do something beautiful and lasting. And then David would have a part in the building of the temple by gathering materials and giving advice. He played a vital role in seeing this project completed. His dream would be realized through someone else, but it would come to pass. And finally, David would build a different kind of a house, a lineage, that would lead to the birth of Christ and the eventual establishment of his kingdom. David didn't have his prayer answered according to his specifications, but I believe that his desire was fulfilled. Sometimes when God says no, he may be pointing us to a different direction. In such cases, we may get nothing that we asked for, yet all that we hoped for. Someone has written, "I asked for strength that I might do great things. He gave me infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. He gave me poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might sway men. He gave me weakness that I might learn God's grace. I asked for companionship that I might be fulfilled. He gave me loneliness that I might feel my need for God. I received nothing that I asked for, but all that I hoped for." My friend tonight, God's no is often an invitation to a yes that we haven't thought of. Look for the answer in unexpected places. Simply may be disguised. Perhaps I'm speaking tonight to someone who feels as if he or she has no faith at all. Would you just look to Christ, even as the words that we have heard are branded into our minds? My faith looks up to thee. And our Father, we pray in this moment that you will increase our faith. We pray that we may have the grace to understand that sometimes you don't give us what we ask, but you even give us something better. Create, O Father, a love within us and a trust that we may be able to accept your will even when it conflicts with ours. Grant us that, we pray, in Jesus' blessed name. Amen.
I think all of us can remember at least one prayer whose answer was disguised. And I think all of us can agree, in looking back, that God's answers, no matter how they came, were for the best. His glory needs to be the ultimate objective of our lives. And He, as sovereign God, can answer our prayers in a manner which brings the most glory to His name. That's what is really the most important thing. Tonight we've seen that God can disguise His answers. Next week, we'll explore what happens when His answers are denied. Be sure to mark this time and station on your schedule for the next time we come your way. Getting a hold of why God doesn't answer some of our prayers is not an easy process, and we at Songs in the Night want to help make it a little easier. Moody Press has published a booklet by Pastor Lutzer entitled Coming to Grips with Unanswered Prayer. It's our desire to place a copy of this helpful volume in your hands. It's yours for the asking, and all you need do is write, requesting that your copy be mailed to your home. Just write to us at Songs in the Night, Moody Church, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. When you write, be sure to give us your name and address and mention the booklet on Unanswered Prayer in your letter. Does Songs in the Night encourage you as you listen week by week? We hope it does. And that you'll take a few moments to let the manager of this station know that you appreciate his carrying Songs in the Night in your area. We thank the many of you who support Songs in the Night, as this helps us to keep this encouragement coming in the months ahead. Our address once again is Songs in the Night, Moody Church, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Bringing tonight's message was our pastor here at the Moody Church, Dr. Erwin Lutzer. Glenn Jorian was our soloist, along with the King's Carolers, Myrna White, Joanna Hedinga, and Marcia Twaddell. John Innes was at the keyboard, and this is Ted Seeley, hoping you'll tune in again next week for more Songs in the Night.
Songs in
presenting God's Word, the Bible, so that you may grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is KHCB-FM in Houston at 105.7 FM.